Are there any municipal officials who would like to address the legislature? Hi, Dan Klein. Where'd he go? There he is.
Hi, thank you, Madam Chair. Dan Klein, Deputy Supervisor of the Town of Danby. I just wanted to report briefly some good things that are happening in Danby. You all know about the high-speed internet grant that a bunch of us got, and so Danby's going to be part of that. And the other grant that you may or may not have heard of is we got $400,000 from New York State to work on the West Danby Water District to replace the water tank. That there wasn't... It was going to be hard to find the money any other place. So we're on a good streak right now. We're 2 for 2 on grants. So if the county needs any help writing anything, feel free to call on us. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Dan. Are there any questions for Dan? All right. Thank you very much. Legislative privilege of the floor. Kathy Luz, Brian. We'll start there.
Thank you. Hi, everybody. I want to tell you about the next Safe Medication Disposal Day. It's going to be Saturday, April 27th. I don't know if y'all know about these. It's a collection event that's being held in conjunction with the DEA's National Drug Take Back. It gives residents a chance to safely dispose of no longer needed household medication. This helps our water table because the medications don't get put in the toilet or in the trash, and it also keeps young people safe from accidentally taking it, and also us, people that might have the medicine is expired and we take it accidentally, we can get rid of it. And there's a couple of ways you can do it. There's now an there's a med return drop box at the Tompkins County Sheriff's Office at 779 Warren Road. And I'm telling you this because this is new for us. The box is accessible 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, year round. And soon we're going to install additional secure drop boxes at other locations. But to get back to April 27th, there's two locations, the TCAT Garage just off of Route 13 on Willow Ave and the Slaterville Fire Station. Both of these medication disposal days are going to be April 27th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. And if you want more information, you can call 211. Pretty easy to remember. Or you can look at healthyyouth.org. So this is great. We've had tremendous participation, and it's a real good way to keep our community safe. I want to make sure everybody heard about it. Hey,
thank
Faye.
Thank you, Kathy Luce. I've got no Faye. We're finished. I've got Brian, Frank, and then Jim.
Thanks. I feel as though I have to switch to the world of sports just for a second. not to lighten things up, but. A couple of weeks ago, a local kid from Lansing who goes to Cornell University did something just absolutely incredible. He won his fourth NCAA title in four different weight classes, mind you. And I had a bunch of buddies that wrestled. It's not a real popular sport, but that record... I'm not sure that it could ever be broken. I mean, it's just beyond belief that somebody could do that. And to think that he went right to one of our own high schools here in Lansing and stayed home at Cornell is just great. And everybody should be proud. The Dake family should be proud. And go Cuse.
Brian, I'm sorry. You didn't say his name, did you?
Kyle Dake. I'm sorry.
Okay, great. Thank you very much. Frank, Jim Leslin, Carol.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Brian, I actually thought you were going to say that as of last night, the Mets were in first place. But
and the Yankees are in last.
Short-lived. I have a couple of things. At the last meeting, I reported to you about the New York State Electric and Gas, the new fee that they're charging, and this is under consumer alert. On the bill I received, it's under the electric delivery charge, and it's called the Reliability Support Services Charge. And it's the fee that all residential, commercial, and business bills will be paying starting this month in order to help the AES Cayuga station stay viable. And there's no time limit on how long that fee will continue to be charged. So if you, and it's a, in relation to the amount of electricity you use, but it's supposed to be $1.11 for households, 29 for business, and 1600 and change for commercial a month. Second item is just to bring to your attention, those of you that are looking for a place to take your kids this weekend, the Ag Extravaganza is taking place at Pyramid, or the shops at Ithaca Mall, excuse me. It's an opportunity for agriculture to showcase a lot of the items, and there'll be live animal displays there. If you have an opportunity, it starts Saturday, and it's a lot of fun, and the kids participate in it. Dan Klein brought up the, just to round the circle out, brought up the $400,000 grant that we were able to secure for the West Danby Water District. It was quite exciting, the trip that several of us took to Albany with Jim Seward's help, and we drew in five or six state-level organizations to help support it. And it's been well reported in Danby, and it's something that they need. It's important because of the importance of replacing that tank that's full. It looks like Swiss cheese. And for emergency services and the water service, it's extremely important for West Danby. One it's an item that's coming up later this month. Beth Harrington and Frank Krupa are the assistant director for EMS in the county, and Frank, the public health director. Ithaca College is sponsoring disaster planning for older adults. And I know some of you, I won't be going, because it's only for people that are over 50. But if any of you have an interest, it's Wednesday, April 27th at IC, and it's going to be pretty well attended. Lisa will be there. It's going to be shuttled between the Country Inn and Suites out on Danby Road and IC. But seriously, it would be extremely good for this workshop series. There's three sessions, and if any of you have not received this brochure, I'll be sure to get it around. We'll be talking about it at the Health Committee as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Frank. Jim, Leslie, and Carol, Pat.
I want to mention there was a story in the Tompkins Weekly that the Falls Restaurant, formerly the Dobie Inn, right, Sheriff? Started 25 years ago with Fred Van Der Zee and his sister, and it's an amazing place in Trumansburg. Been there a long time, and they refer to it as the community kitchen because many people go there, me among them, and my wife, and spend a few dollars and get beat up a little about my politics, and also have a good time being there. I think the community has used the place well for 25 years, and I applaud the owners and their hard work that took that from one sort of a place and turned it into a really good place to be for the people of Trumansburg, town of Ulysses, and many Tompkins County residents.
Thank you, Jim. Leslie?
Thank you, Brian, for mentioning that. I live with a wrestler. One of the first questions I got is, are you all going to pass some resolution?
Mic on.
My microphone or my voice is gone.
Kyle, if we're going to pass a resolution of kudos for Kyle, because that record is amazing. So I'm sort of forced to watch the wrestling matches, although I like them. And yeah. Go Syracuse. And Frank, I really appreciate the constant reminder about our utility bills. I was not one to look at it, but since you started it, I've been, more Jared than I, looking at it more carefully. I want to add some culture and history to our lives this weekend. Excuse me, I'm a little under the weather. This weekend, in the city of Ithaca, in Tompkins County, we are celebrating the 40th birthday of the birth of hip-hop. Now, not what you think, not the stereotypes. We're talking serious culture and serious history. So beginning on Thursday, at Cornell University, Cornell has probably the world's best hip-hop collection. The Tompkins County Public Library, Cinemopolis, a number of community agencies, the History Center, involved in really celebrating this movement that came out of issues of oppression. So when people think hip-hop, I know people think, you know, the pants that hang around the ankles and, you know, the gyrating folks to the music. All of that is good, but it's more than that. There's serious history behind this. So I encourage all of you to visit the Unbound from the Underground website, unboundfromtheunderground.org. Check out the schedule of events. We have Descending on Ithaca, probably 40 or so graffiti, world-renowned graffiti artists from throughout the world coming here to paint. That is a part of hip-hop history and culture that is so important. Bringing with them tourism dollars, bringing with them tourists. We have the pioneers, many of the pioneers of the hip-hop movement, coming here. And the screening of the remake of one of the original movies about hip-hop called Wild Style at Cinemopolis, Friday evening at 9:15, complete with a panel discussion. The History Center is hosting an exhibit and panel discussion about the Bronx movement around hip-hop. And the library, our public library, is hosting an exhibition as well on that issue. So we encourage you to please check out unboundfromtheunderground.org, all one word, see the schedule, and I hope you'll attend some of these events for the history lesson that it is, for the cultural experience that it is, for the understanding of the emergence of hip-hop from a place of oppression. I'll stop at that point, though. Thank you.
Thank you, Leslie. Somebody get her a lozenge. And there, for anybody in the overflow room, there are a few seats in the chambers if you'd like to come into the room here. Got Carol, then Pat.
Oh, well, I will just add to what Leslin was talking about and just point you to the front page of today's Ithaca Journal for the full schedule of events related to that. And this is, our area has really become a repository of a good wealth of information about that whole era, and there's a lot to learn there. I wanted to tell people about a conference coming up April 18th to 21st about climate change. It is called Climate Smart, Climate Ready Conference. It is protecting and preparing our communities for climate changes. The website is climatesmartclimateready.org. Caps at the front of those words, if that matters. There are tracks from Thursday night through Sunday in Ithaca and Cortland that range from agriculture, public health, legal issues, housing, business. Oh, I should say the biggest sponsors are Dryden Mutual Insurance Company and McNeil and Company Insurance. The next level was Cornell Sustainability Center, Holt Architects, and Barbara Lifton. Business tracks, including smart money bets related to climate, youth, community, inclusion, and government. So I'm hoping by we have one more meeting, I think, before then, although it'll be tight, to have the schedule to hand out for people. But in the meantime, climatesmartclimateready.org. That's what I had.
Thank you very much, Carol. Pat, then Mike.
Yes, thank you, Martha. I wanted to speak very briefly. I made it at our last meeting, when we had a lot of people that spoke about the SAFE Act, I made a fairly lengthy statement about my position on the SAFE Act, and I don't want to take the time to go through that again tonight. I do want to point out that I am a hunter. I am a gun owner. I grew up in a family where some of you may be familiar with the phrase that we ate venison year-round in my house. And some of you, I think, probably know what that means. But what I would like to say is this. I am going to be voting later tonight on a resolution in support of the SAFE Act. I do not feel that my Second Amendment rights are threatened. I am not concerned about some of the issues that have been raised by those who are opposed to the SAFE Act. And if you would like to hear or to learn more about why I feel as I do, I would be happy to provide anyone who wishes it with a copy of the statement that I made at the last meeting. My email address is on the county website. Feel free to get in touch with me, and I would be happy to provide you with that statement.
Thank you, Pat. Mike, and then Will.
If I could bottle up some of the passion that we heard tonight, the quiet, careful passion, and save it until 2017, I would hope that these folks that are out there would take that to the polls that year and vote for a constitutional convention. I think this SAFE Act debate and the county's role in it points out some real problems with our processes at the state government that have to be looked at, and now's not too early to be thinking about voting for a constitutional convention. Having said that, I want to say that when I first received emails and correspondence and calls about this saying the county ought to take a position, my reaction was it's not a county issue. Tangentially, it is a county issue because of some of the mandates that we've heard about and we know about and what it's doing to the county clerk and the sheriff's office. But it's really something out of the state of New York. I have listened to people in my district and across the county sitting here tonight who think that this law is totally wrong. I don't agree with them. I have heard people from my district and across the county tonight who think that this act is terrific the way it is and we should support it, and I don't agree with them. There are problems here in this law, particularly the way it was rushed through the legislature, and it was rushed through the legislature. Our assemblywoman in the column today in the Ithaca Journal indicated that the reason that happened was they were afraid the NRA might be come out against it, and so they wanted to make sure it went through fast. And I want to commend our assemblywoman for having the courage to stand up and talk about her convictions about this law in front of many hostile audiences in her district. Whether we agree with her position or not, she's done the right thing to represent us, and I wish our three state senators would do the same thing. So this is why I brought forth the resolution I did, and it's been amended at the Public Safety Committee. It doesn't look very much like I started out with coming back, but I can support what the Public Safety Committee did. I'd rather see my own resolution if other people feel that way. But if we can't come up with a compromise, and a compromise is a good thing, our Congress ought to learn a little bit more about compromise. We're in this very strange era when if you don't agree with me, you're 100% wrong. And that's not what we should be talking about. compromise hurts both sides. It's supposed to. But both sides also gain something when there's a good compromise. And we just can't continue going along thinking that we know the complete answer all by ourselves, whether we're on the left, the right, or in the center. So tonight, as I said, I won't vote to support a resolution commending the act, and I won't vote for one which is opposed to the act, asking for repeal. But I would hope we could come together on a compromise resolution.
Thank you, Mike. Will?
Thank you, Martha. Thanks to everyone who came out and spoke tonight, regardless of what you said. I tried to really, really listen, and I learned things. I completely upfront, I am strongly in favor of doing something to address gun violence, and I'm desperately looking for answers that will do that. And I don't think I have them. I don't think anybody has them, and therein lies our problem. But I was impressed that there were people speaking tonight with the opposite view. People like Diana across the way, who wasn't planning to speak, but came up in crutches and told us about the importance of hunting. I would hope that this act will not make that more difficult. And if I learn otherwise, I will try to correct that. But I also heard from gentleman, Mr. Weiss, who reminded us that we really don't have good research on what works in terms of gun control. We are literally collectively flying blind, and I am glad that our state legislature did something. They did something in a very seemingly rushed way. It was quick. It was in response to the horrific events that all shook us to the core, which was the Newtown, Connecticut shootings. And our governor realized this was a moment when he could act, and he did. Many of you who don't follow county or state government are quite angry at the process by which this is done. Those of us who sit around this table know that this truly is the norm. You know, this is our world every day, and we regularly see our state and federal governments doing things that affect us, affect all of you in terms of taxpayers, and which are frequently done in ways that seem arbitrary. I wish it was other, but that is the reality we are attempting to deal with. And we're also trying to make sense of this act that we had no say in passing. We were learning about it even as you are. Anything we do tonight will not really change what happens in Albany, except to the extent that we identify problems and we communicate to our Assemblywoman Barbara Lifton. We try to write the governor and say, this part of the act doesn't make sense. Please change it. That can happen. But you get back to the reality that ultimately I feel we were right to do something. After Newtown, I stood up and said that I had kind of been asleep for many years. You know, I sort of was horrified by Columbine and horrified by Tucson and Aurora, Colorado, and just on and on. But I kept thinking, you know, this happens, but nothing is going to happen to change. Newtown, for me, was the change. I realized we have got to deal with this somehow. And I honestly don't know what the answer is, but we gotta. When I was a much younger person, before I moved to Ithaca, I lived in a very distressed part of Washington, D.C. Didn't have a lot of money. I was walking home from work one night, and my wife and I were approached by two young men who pulled out what was at that time known as the Saturday Night Special. And they asked for all our money, of which we had very little, and then ushered us into our house and held us hostage for what seemed like an eternity. It may have been very short. We didn't have a gun at that time. And what we ended up doing was talking our way out of this awful, awful situation. And those two young men left us unharmed. I have no idea what happened to them, but they were not killed. I was not killed. I was not injured. And that today lives with me as a memory, that guns are not always the best way of dealing with situations. I have a daughter and grandson who live in Chicago. We talked about that tonight. Crime rate, horrible, horrible daily gun violence in this city that has seemingly strong laws. What people, I think, who may not realize is that you can go out of Chicago and in half an hour be in the state of Indiana, which has very, very lax laws. You know, guns move across borders. We can have the toughest gun laws here in New York State, but we are still affected by what surrounds us. And as a nation, we've got to be doing something. I will be voting for this tonight. I will continue to want to hear from people on all sides. I am deeply appreciative of the people who have put their heart into trying to convey to us. And I hope that this will continue the conversation. Thank you.
Thank you, Will. Anyone else? Nathan, Peter, Pam.
Okay. Well, this has been a very difficult issue for me, and I couldn't sleep last night because I was thinking about it so much. And I think one of the things I just want to say that bothers me about this debate is that on both sides it seems like there's a lot of just absolutism. Like you either support it, you're with us, or you're against us. And I hear it from both sides. And that has really been bothering me quite a lot. And I think it bothers me because my own experience shows that that people understand the complexity of this problem. You know, during the campaign trail, you know, I met people that were single-payer healthcare, which is, you know, government insurance companies, right? Single-payer healthcare, very progressive position, that were against gun control. I also met avid hunters who were for gun control. There's a lot of complexity on this issue. And I remember how struck I was that when, during the campaign, you know, I had talked about, you know, I went to the Shooters Committee on Political Education. I'm a member of the Courting Fish and Game Club. But I would talk about things like, well, you know, maybe we should have, we should increase the sentences for people who violate gun laws. You know, we should have gun buybacks. We should extend background checks, things like that. And actually, what the NRA said about me is that I was indifferent or outright hostile to the rights of gun owners or sportsmen. And I think that somebody that actually goes and shows up to Shooters Committee on Political Education, who actually goes to a shooting range, is not outright hostile. But that's how I was labeled. But despite that, you know, even though this congressional district that I ran in was 55% of the households own guns, I still got a lot of support from those folks. You know, we got 48% in that election. And I think it's because for a lot of people, they weren't, this is something I want to reiterate, is that just because somebody's a member of the NRA doesn't mean they're going to do whatever the NRA tells them to do. All right? I mean, we shouldn't label people that way and just have these blanket statements. Because I know from my own experience that there were many people that are members of the NRA that were supportive of my campaign. I've been thinking about this a lot. And I agree that a compromise solution. Actually, I've decided that I will. You know, I will support Mike Lane on his compromise resolution here, because I understand that spirit of compromise and that we don't have to have this absolutism that seems to reign. But if that fails, I will support a resolution in favor of the SAFE Act. But I would only support it, and this is my personal statement. I'm not asking for this change to the resolution because it's already been worked on 100 times, all right? But I will say that I have two major problems with that, with the law, all right? First is the classification. Basically how I feel that the law right now seems to, equates a strong word, but definitely suggests mental illness and a link to violence. And I think that's absolutely wrong. I think we've done a lot of work in this country to actually destigmatize mental illness, and by having that part of the law, I think it's a big problem. I think that you're going to have, and I've talked to mental health professionals, even the Mental Health Association of New York State has concerns that people that own guns are going to be afraid of talking about, you know, not that even their harm of others, so the fact that they may want to harm themselves, they're going to be afraid of going to somebody because they have, because they own a gun and they don't want to get taken away from them. I think there needs to be serious reform on that provision of the law. The second part is that, you know, because I've spent a lot of time with gun owners across this district, it sounds easy that you can define an assault weapon as a single feature, like a pistol grip collapsible stock. I think that there's a big problem with the law. I think the law needs to be a lot more specific on how it defines assault weapons, because yes, those features are a feature of assault weapons, but it is a feature of many guns, and it will mean that we will take some guns away from people, and I think that that's a big problem with that law. So I will support a Pro Safe Act resolution tonight, but I wanted to make it very clear that if I have the opportunity ever again in the future, to affect legislation, you know, I would like those two aspects of the law to be addressed, because I think it's a very flawed law with that. I also want to say that this issue, it's actually kind of like Obamacare for me. I remember when Obamacare came out, I didn't like it because I'm a single payer advocate. Actually, I believe that we should get rid of private insurance companies and get the profit out of healthcare. So I spoke out against the Obamacare. But after it became law, I realized that the good thing about this law is that it actually helps small businesses afford health care. It eliminated pre-existing conditions. Eliminated insurance companies denying people pre-existing conditions. And it actually gave people that didn't have health insurance insurance. And at the end of the day, those features of the law were something that I supported. And so I ended up supporting the law, but I told people that if I ever got into a place in Congress, I would absolutely work to make that law better. Likewise with this, I have fundamentally big problems with this law. But at the same time, it is already been passed, and I think we need to do what the state legislature is doing, what the governor's doing. The governor's even examined a bunch of the aspects of this law. I think that we need to re-examine a lot of these provisions, and I think specifically the mental health provision and also the what we define as an assault weapon. Thank you.
Thank you, Nathan. I've got Peter and then Pam.
Well, let's see. I don't think I'm going to talk about what I'm going to do tonight when it comes to voting, but I do feel like I want to talk back a little bit to the people who are in the audience. I've listened for, I don't know, probably 5 hours, 6 hours total on this issue. And I've heard a lot of things, and I have some comments to make about it. Number one, when I consider my job as a legislator and what I'm supposed to do, I'm supposed to be working on your behalf. And so it sounds easy. Just listen to what you say and count heads and then vote based on that. But that makes no sense whatsoever, because I'm representing 100,000 people, and the fact that 100 people show up saying one thing or another, that just makes no sense whatsoever. So in the end, does it matter that you come and talk? Because I'm not going to count heads, and I'm not going to simply use what the people who come tell me to do. And let me assure you that it's enormously important for you to come. I mean, one of the sad things I have about being a legislator is that so few people come. We face big issues all the time. Every year we face a budget. And, you know, if three people come and tell us what to do about the budget, that's a lot. People simply do not come. I have learned so much from this 5 hours of talks that I have listened to, have opened my eyes to questions that I didn't understand before. Today, I heard this statement made by this young woman who's sitting behind me. I had no idea that the assault weapons ban applied to shotguns, to hunting shotguns, but it does. And frankly, it does seem absurd to me to outlaw a shotgun because it happens to have some decorative feature on it that has nothing to do with its lethality. And so you are taking away from a person the opportunity to eat the food that they want to eat. That sounds nuts to me. And a number of other things, I won't go through them, but there are a number of other things that I have learned. And I really do appreciate it. It's made me, I've spent many hours thinking about what has been said, and let me not dissimulate by saying that I think that everything that I've heard is a jewel of wisdom. That's not the case. But I have heard enough jewels of wisdom to listen very carefully to this, and as I say, I really wish that we had more of it. I mean, just to show you, when we face the budget every year, I have just, because I felt so out of touch with the people I'm representing, I actually walked around my neighborhood and rang doorbells and said to random people, look, I'm your legislator. Here's a choice I have to face. I want to know, what should I do when here's the situation? I have to either vote yes or no. And they'd say, well, we don't know enough. Well, I say, well, neither do I. So just let me know what you say. And it's not that I counted things and decided what to do. It's just that I heard somebody else introduce something in, which I find invaluable. Having said that, then, there's been a statement that's made quite often that we ought to reject the whole law because of the fact that there were no public hearings. I've heard that again and again and again. And that the statement that was made, what is it called? That rule?
Message
of necessity. It was illegal. Well, it's not illegal. Let me just tell you that. I mean, when people talk about the Second Amendment as if I can read it and figure out exactly what it says about assault weapons, it's not that simple. The Second Amendment is a few words. It's like that's a 10-word sentence over there with lots and lots of Supreme Court judgments that have been made over the past 100 years as to what that means. And I'm no expert on it. And I think that most of the people in the audience are no experts on it in that they haven't read exactly what that said and studied it and so on and so forth. It's not quite that simple. But the notion that we should reject the law simply because a false ruling of necessity has been made is wrong, because there too a court has spoken. Let me tell you that the Court of Appeals of New York has said that the governor is the sole judge of whether or not the condition for necessity has been met. That's our law in the state of New York. You may think that's ridiculous, but we live in a land that relies on laws, and at the moment that's what that law means. Therefore, I feel that the fact that he did not have public input, which, by the way, I think is extremely important, does not make me say that we ought to get rid of the law, because they followed the law, and that's what the law says, like it or not. And like it or not, I've sworn to support the First Amendment and the Second Amendment and the Third Amendment and the Fourth Amendment and the Fifth Amendment and so on and so forth, whether or not I like it. That's our system. So for me to try to make those particular judgments about what a Supreme Court should have said is not the way that I think my job should go. So what I think I should do is listen to you and then think for myself and read a little bit more and make a judgment which I think is the right thing to do. And, you know, if you don't like what I said and you want to vote against me, that's wonderful. That's the American way. Nobody's going to ask why you voted against me. It's your right to vote against me for whatever reason you like. And I realize that's part of the business of being in this room. So, once again, thanks for coming out and thanks for educating me.
Thank you, Peter. Pam.
I also wanted to thank everybody who came. I have not changed my mind, but I you have changed my perspective, I have not been unaffected by what people have said here. I think, for me, I have felt a tremendous sense of frustration watching these horrible situations continue to occur, and nobody seems to have a solution. And it seems to me, particularly after the last one in Newtown, it felt that we needed to do something, and that that this is just not right. That why in this country do we have more gun violence? Why do we have all these people dying from guns? And other countries, Western European countries, don't experience the same kind of thing. And how could we possibly abide having 20 babies shot and not do something? And I guess if I felt that the Second Amendment was really under attack by this law, I would have to think about that very strongly, because I have sworn to uphold the Constitution, and I take that seriously. I also don't trust our government that much. But the fact is that this is our reality. We are facing having very small children killed in school. And we need to do something. And I, as I said at the public safety meeting, you know, I really don't particularly like the way Albany does business, and have often been very critical of them because of that fact. But I felt in this situation that they actually took a leadership role, that they stood up and they are trying to make a change. They're trying to make things better. They are trying to end the kind of violence that we are experiencing in this country. And I think that's important. I think that we need our leaders to stand up and try, as imperfect as they are and as we are, and imperfect as our solutions are. Our role, that's what we get paid the big bucks for, is to make decisions and do the best job we can after listening to everybody and taking all of these things into consideration. And so I really do appreciate your coming. I come from a rural family, and I understand people getting by hunting and by growing things, and how important that can be. And I surely would not want to jeopardize that. So, but I will support the SAFE Act tonight. But I just very much appreciated the fact that everybody came here and expressed their opinions in a rational, reasonable way, and I thank you for that.
Thank you, Pam. Anyone else? All right, I have a short report, and then I think we'll take the Public Safety Committee report. I won't speak on the SAFE Act right now, but except to say that we have in the past been criticized for taking up resolutions that sort of weren't our job, that didn't fall into what the county actually does. I think this is a perfect example of one of the roles this legislature plays, which is to actually respond to our public that brought us this issue and said, we want you to take a stand. We've had that in the past many, many times. And sometimes it's just one person who brings us an issue, and we may spend a fair amount of time on it, and other people may say, gee, why do you do that? It's a waste of time. It's not your business to tell the state or federal government what to do. I think it certainly is our business to express something in response to what our constituents bring to us, and that's what we've done this last month, and I expect we will do that tonight. I hope we also have a resolution to switch topics a little bit in the future, asking the International Olympic Committee to put wrestling back in the Olympics.
That's really a stupid
decision. And I just want to report on two things having to do with the IDA. I'm chair of the Industrial Development Agency. I don't report very often, but there are two projects I wanted to sort of give people a little bit of follow-up about. BJ's in Lansing, people know, you know, was voted on, and the idea was that tax payments were to go from the store to pay for senior housing in the village of Lansing. People have said to me, I don't see any senior housing. I spoke with Don Hartzell, the village of Lansing mayor, last week. There's an issue with sort of swapping the wetlands. So they have to take acreage from the wetlands and change that out. That's where the housing is going to go. So it's taking extra time because they have to find appropriate land to swap. He also was pleased to tell me that through design development, the developers will be building 24 units of housing, not 12, as we had expected. So at least the benefit is going to go towards two dozen units, and that's a help. I also want to report on the Neighborhood Pride grocery store down on the north side. And I was there. I go there whenever I can. And people should know that they have gotten their approvals now for food stamps for supplemental nutrition program. And I don't know how to put these together, the beer license. So I don't know, those aren't equivalent, but they're both involved state approval, so that their beer license is in. And last, as of Friday, the WIC approvals were on the way. So I just really want to encourage people to go to Neighborhood Pride. It is just awesome. The people are wonderful. And when we talk about local, you know, sort of buying local and supporting local businesses, that's as local as you can get. So, Kathy Luce?
That's not related to the IDA, is it? I don't think they got any.
Yeah.
What'd they get?
Yeah. They got an abatement with the IDA.
Yeah, it was sales tax. The sales tax abatement.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Yeah. There was an IDA project.
How much was the sales tax abatement? How much did it amount to?
Oh, it's way too late for me. Anybody from the IDA remember? How much was the abatement?
I know it was pretty substantial. I can probably find out.
All right. I'll find out. Google it fastest.
I'm interested because that's really becoming a community hub. Their cafe is awesome.
Right.
They've got this little fireplace there. Everybody is super friendly. They've got a lot of people that used to work at the PNC that was there before. So it's really cool.
Right. And that's where the Lou the hot dog guy goes all winter.
Yes.
So. Peter.
Yeah, I just want to add to that. If you want to see a beautiful interior done in wood, that's the place to go. I've never seen that much wood in a modern construction in a long, long time, and I've not seen that. It's beautiful, lovely.
It's very nice. All right, thank you. With that, I would like to take us to the Public Safety Committee report with Brian Robison, Chair. We'll go to the county administrator report. I mean, I think the county administrator, Joe's going to be bringing up the airport issue. It's not going to be a quick topic of conversation, and there may be other things I don't know. I would certainly encourage folks to stick around to hear what's happening to our airport and perhaps help us to lobby Congress to make a difference. But I know that's not why you're here, so let's go to the Public Safety Committee.
Thanks, Martha. Actually, before I give my report, let's do a bit of housekeeping. And can I put Resolution J through first,
J,
please?
That is the one. Yes.
I'm sorry.
J is Pine Tree Road.
How about I?
Yeah. Yes, yeah, absolutely.
Resolution I, ID number 4005, appropriation from contingent fund, terminal pay reimbursement, Department of Probation and Community Justice, and I would move that.
Seconded by Peter. Any discussion? This is a short form roll call.
Ms. Pryor?
Yes.
Mr. Proto?
Yes.
Would anyone wish to be recorded as no? That's unanimous.
Thank you. Public safety. We've been a little busy lately. I would start out, obviously, the only thing left on the agenda is SAFE Act resolutions. I want to first correct Peter a little bit, and according to my math, I just added it up, we've had 8 hours of comment.
Time flies fast when you're having fun.
Yep. Which is good, I feel. It's good and it's bad. It's good that people come out, that they feel that they can, even if they're nervous, get their views out. It's bad that it has to be such a divisive issue to get folks out. But we have had 8 hours of public comment, and regardless what side of the issue anybody's on, I think I can speak for all of us in that we do appreciate that, and we did hear you, and we'll continue to hear you. Martha, you just mentioned sometimes we criticize for delving into state work, and I'm the leader of the pack on that. Many times I don't feel as though it's necessary.
I didn't aim it at you, Brian.
No, I did. Okay. But in this case, it was. Although maybe it shouldn't have been. This was obviously a divisive issue just by the mere hours that we spent. And I still strongly feel that should have been done at the appropriate level and not here. I'm glad that folks had come out here, but I wished it had been different. And I think we heard a little bit tonight, actually something I hadn't heard about, as to maybe some possible reasons why that occurred. And that's pretty sad. But it happened, and we're here. Obviously, there's strong feelings on both sides. Through our deliberations in the Public Safety Committee, we took what really started out to be a resolution put forth by Mike Lane, and it truly is a compromise. It doesn't say anywhere in that resolution support, and it doesn't say repeal. It says what we've all been hearing for the last several weeks, and that is, please do, at least in my view, what you should have done to begin with. There I'm talking to the governor and the legislature. Please take it back. It's obviously a very important issue to folks on both sides, and it's not something that you put out and fix later. Take it back, do it right, get the public input, and then bring it forth. And I think that's what Mike Lane's resolution attempted to do. Mike, we're sorry. We did have a little cut and paste session while we were in public safety, but the core of it is that. So I know we have. Well, I don't know how many resolutions we have on that topic, but, yeah, enough. But having said that, I am going to start, I'll start the bidding, if you will, by the resolution that was brought out from our committee, and that would be Resolution D, revised as adopted by the Public Safety Committee on March 27, 2013, urging the state legislature and Governor Andrew Cuomo to reexamine the New York SAFE Act using a careful and deliberate public process, and I so move.
Thank you, Brian. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Peter. Carol.
I can't support that one. I feel very strongly that as a community, it is time to respond to the 30,000 deaths a year that involve guns and to do so in a stronger fashion. I also thank all of the people who have come out to speak to us, those who've written to us, and the over 700 who've signed petitions on each side of this. In the end, we have 15 of us who are elected to serve disparate constituencies. And nevertheless, we do usually try to get to a compromise on most of the things that we talk about. And we usually manage to get there. I appreciate the committee's efforts to get to a compromise. I, in particular, appreciate Mike Lane's efforts to get us to a compromise. In the spirit of compromise, I'll start by withdrawing the stronger common counsel resolution that I had put on the agenda for both public safety and...
All right, Carol, help us out. Which one is that?
That is the common counsel one is...
is it P?
E.
E.
So I will withdraw that one. It's the strongest one in here.
4068. It's on page 8 of the package.
I'm not sure that's in order, but go ahead.
Okay. Okay, well, then I won't do that yet if you don't want me to. Five of us felt strongly enough that this was not enough of a compromise and not enough of a statement of support for New York State having tried to act to address the 30,000 deaths a year happening across the country, and that the very title of that one is really quite critical of New York State. We shared the concerns about guns crossing state lines and also felt that there needed to be something in whatever came out of this legislature about adding a federal approach. And that we need to ultimately a federal approach. We do recognize that states need to act first before the federal government is going to act. So in the spirit of trying for a compromise, that five of us sat down and hammered out and are submitting jointly to you, and I believe that may be unprecedented from the reaction I got in the legislature office to have five people co-sponsor a resolution here. Well, it's quite rare to have literally. I'll point you to resolution Q. It is
packet page 50.
I've taken mine out of order. Packet page 50. And I would like to move to substitute that one. The title of it is Resolution in Support of Sensible Gun Control and Addressing New York State Level and Federal Level Actions Thereon. It was submitted jointly by legislators Kiefer, Chalk, Pryor, Mackesy, and Burbank, as it says at the top. And let me tell you what it does. It applauds New
Carol,
York
let's
State.
Let's get a second. Okay. Is there a second? Dooley seconds that. Okay. Go ahead, Carol.
Okay, I believe Dooley had wanted to talk also, so I should have waited to actually move it. It applauds New York State for acting. It says it supports the intent and enactment of the SAFE Act, yet it recognizes that laws are compromises and none are perfect. So it urges local funding, first of all, which we've heard people talk about and was in that other one. It asks for fine-tuning following open hearings and public comment. And it urges similar action on the federal level. And, it is a compromise. It is not the stronger city resolution. And I hope that in the spirit of trying to get something out of here that we can support, yet also urge New York State to listen to the many people who'd like to talk on this issue, I hope people can support it.
Point of order.
Thank you, Carol. It's been moved and seconded. Okay, yeah, Peter.
The resolution that you moved, Ryan, was 4065 as revised by the committee. Is that correct?
Right.
Not 4065 as originally presented.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Yep. Yes. And what I'm moving to substitute is resolution Q, number 4083.
All right, is there a discussion? Dooley, did you? Discussion? All right, we're ready to vote.
I wanted to make sure that whatever we vote on includes our thoughts being sent to the federal level also, because
yes,
without that, we will continue to have the problem of what's happening in the state next door.
Okay, so
That's why I support Q, and that's why
that's
I
friendly.
Yeah.
That is friendly.
What?
You're not adding anything.
I'm not changing anything. I'm saying why I'm seconding it, why I felt strongly about this. The other versions of the resolutions that have been put forward dealt only with New York State, and it's true that we've been asked to comment on the SAFE Act, but New York State does not exist in a vacuum. And it's important for our federal government to act in similar ways. That's all.
Okay. Well, Dooley, it does. The second resolve says that we urge the U.S. Congress and President to take several actions. But the last resolution doesn't actually send this to anybody federal.
No, the list of names is incomplete.
Yeah. I thought we had added that.
Okay, so that'll be essentially I assume that's friendly.
I consider it friendly to add those
to
names.
To add federal representatives, you're going to...
And that's usually what our legislative clerk staff does.
Okay. Thank you, Julie. I got Jim and then Pat.
let me just say, Brian's resolution, or the Public Safety Committee, which was Mike's originally, and got operated on during the committee meeting... I was the person who moved Mike's original resolution, and the final vote of the committee was four of us who voted for the resolution that Brian moved on the floor and now being substituted for. And I feel like I have an obligation. I spoke very strongly for this resolution, and I continue to think that if a pro-SAFE Act resolution does not pass, this resolution would be a good indication of how I feel still, and it would also give a good indication to the state legislature and the governor what they need to do in terms of fixing the law. Even though it doesn't say we support the SAFE Act or we support repealing the SAFE Act, it does. It's an implied version. You would not pass a resolution on a law that didn't exist. The law exists. So what we're talking about is fixing the current law that's in place. And the state legislature has already seen fit to do some of that during the budget process. But at this point, as the resolution I'm going to support is the one that Chuck Pryor, Maxie Burbank, Kiefer have put forth, unless it gets carved up in such a way that it becomes unsupportable, at least for me.
Okay, I've got Pat, Leslin, and Peter. Let me just say, the discussion is whether to substitute, and then Dave?
I was the first one that had their hand up.
Okay, I didn't see you, so I've got you after
Carol
Peter.
Raised her hand. I had mine up at the same time.
Okay, I didn't see you. I've got... You'll have your turn. Pat, Leslin, Peter, and Dave. And I want to say the discussion right now is to whether to substitute this motion as the main motion for Resolution D. When we vote, it will only be whether to substitute, and then we will vote on the merits. If that remains on the floor, then we would vote on the merits on it. So just to make clear, what we're discussing now is whether to substitute this. Pat.
I just wanted to ask if on line 14, after the word safe, I think we need to add the word act.
Oh, yes. That's a manifest error. Good.
Yeah.
That it?
That's it.
Leslin?
I will yield my time.
Okay. Peter.
Okay, I would like to speak against Carol's motion, and the way I'd like to proceed is to look at the difference between the resolved clauses in both resolutions and say why I prefer the resolved clause in the resolution that was adopted by the committee. If I can just read it, the resolved clause in what am I going to call it? The Carol resolution. Carol resolution, the committee resolution. Okay? In the Carol resolution, the resolve clause says that the Tompkins County Legislature supports the intent and enactment of the New York State's of the Act, urges the state legislature and governor to provide funding for the increased cost of the agency and local record keeping and enforcement, and ask the state legislature and governor to consider fine-tuning the details in the act following open hearings and comment. And then if I read the one that was passed by the legislature, it says...
By the committee.
Excuse me, by the committee. It says further that the Tompkins County Legislature asked Governor Cuomo and the New York State Legislature, one, through an open and public process... And that statement or its equivalent is in both versions, to solicit concerns and recommendations from the public, local governments, and law enforcement agencies regarding consequences of the New York Safe Act. Two, analyze the probable advantages and disadvantages of the recommendations using evidence-based criteria. And three, recommend to the legislature changes to the act to modify or eliminate all provisions that are unlikely to decrease the number of victims of gun violence but will likely significantly burden law-abiding gun owners. Okay, that's the difference between the two. Now, we both agree, but both resolutions agree that we ought to have public comment. So we're both agreed on that. So what do we disagree on? Well, what we disagree on is that what Carol's resolution is asking the Albany to do is to simply look at the act and make recommendations to change it. But the other resolution, the resolution that came out of committee, gives the legislature some instruction on how to look at the act. What is it that we want changed? The Carol resolution says just look and see if there's anything you need to change. Frankly, they don't need our advice to do that. They might by themselves just look and see if there's anything to be changed and in what direction should they change it. Carol's resolution gives no instruction on that. Now, the resolution that the committee passed does not say repeal it. It says that proposal says that the basic thing to do is to write a safe act that will save lives of people that are that are killed by guns. We're all appalled at that. There's no question about that. But how do you decide which ones are going to save lives and which ones are not going to save lives? The only way I know of making those decisions is not to close your eyes and think about it. It's to look at the evidence and make some decision based on that. Yesterday, I happened to be turned on my TV set at night, just by accident, and turned on to a long report on what the state of Connecticut had done. And what the state of Connecticut had done, and they were very proud of what they had done, this was the Rachel Maddow show, is that they just passed a law. And the way they passed the law is they had open hearings and people came in and talked, and then they had debate between the open debate between the Republicans and the Democrats in the legislature, and what the debate was about was what is it that saves lives, and how did they tell? Well, they looked at the evidence. And they were proud of saying that they looked at the evidence, and they came to some conclusions, and they passed a law. And I believe, actually, as I listened to what the provisions of the law was, their law was stronger than Cuomo's law. But as far as I'm concerned, they're experts. They can make that. But I like what they did. And what we are asking that our legislature to do is exactly that. people have said there's no evidence that the NRA has destroyed or prohibited any evidence to be made. That's ridiculous. There's all kinds of evidence. Frankly, if you want to look to see evidence, probably you'd go to countries outside of the U.S. that have much stricter gun laws and see what works and what doesn't work. And I'm sure the NRA has not managed to keep anyone from doing research on that subject. So all I'm saying is I'm no expert on it. I don't know what works and what doesn't work. And frankly, I'm not willing to make a judgment that what the state has passed is in fact the correct way to reduce the number of deaths and to impinge as little as possible on the Second Amendment rights of gun owners. Now, frankly, given a choice between impinging on the rights and saving the lives of children that will be shot, I don't know about you, but I'll go with saving lives of the children. But in any case, I think it's absolutely wrong to pass laws that don't have that effect and impinge on the rights of gun owners. So for that reason, I believe that the committee report is a better way of telling the legislature what to do than the one that's in Carroll's. That's the argument I would make for it.
So you do not want us to substitute Q for D?
That's okay. Correct.
Dave.
In case you miss, I really must have expressed myself very badly. I'm arguing against the substitution, yes.
Right. Thank you, Dave. Thank you, Peter. Dave?
I want to move to substitute my original resolution 4088.
What's packet?
Today's packet.
Packet page?
47.
Okay.
I don't think you can do that.
Point of information?
Yes, you can.
Yeah, that would be a Second Amendment. Now, a motion to substitute is essentially an amendment of the main motion.
Right.
Technically, he's asking to.
I'm talking, Peter. I'm talking.
Yeah. All right.
Okay. We have a main motion on the floor. That's the committee's motion. We have a motion to substitute. That's essentially an amendment of the main motion. That's in front of us. We are allowed. Our rules say we can have a second amendment of. We can have two amendments at a time without voting on the first one. So this is a motion to a second amendment. It's a motion to substitute Resolution O, packet page 47. And, Peter, you look like you want me to ask Jonathan.
No, I just want point of order that the motion that Dave is making is to substitute his motion for
Carol's
right. Motion.
Right. The chalk motion.
The chalk right. Motion, yes. Yes.
Seconded by Frank. Jonathan, you want to...
No, I mean, that's entirely correct, and it is in order. I mean, frankly, an easier way to proceed, although this is totally in order, is to vote on the Carol motion, and then whether it wins or loses, then call on Dave and then have him... introduce this, and that way it's two at a time instead of three at a time. It's an easier way to proceed, but it is totally in order.
Point of information.
Pam?
So in this situation that we are in right now, we will first vote on whether to substitute David's resolution
right,
for
Carol's, and then vote and then on whether to substitute Carol's
okay.
For
Thank
the
you.
Committee.
Now, whichever one wins...
Right.
We vote on whether to substitute that one for the main motion.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. Now, a suggestion was made of another way to go, an easier way. Do you want to keep your motion on the floor?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Moved and seconded by Frank. Moved by Dave, seconded by Frank. Discussion. Ready to vote. All in favor of substituting... Opposing the SAFE Act, which doesn't mean you're voting for it. It means you're going to make it the thing we're going to vote on. All in favor of that substitution, please raise your hand. Opposed? That fails 3-12. So we're back to whether to substitute Q for D. Further discussion. Frank.
Can we actually discuss the merits of the resolution, or is it just appropriate to discuss whether it can be substituted or not?
Let's vote on whether it's going to be the motion. So we have to vote whether to substitute it, and then we can talk about the merits. And Peter's discussion was essentially he didn't want to substitute, and he explained the reasons why.
Okay. I'd like to hold my comments then, assuming this one, the outcome of this substitution.
Okay. You want to be first in line. You have dibs. Okay. Any discussion on the motion to substitute? Will.
Thank you, Martha. So I sat through the whole discussion in committee really appreciate the work that the committee did on this. As people are aware, the committee made some... We're getting ringing. There were a number of changes, I think many that I felt made Mike's even better. But I have to say, Peter, the additions that you suggested and that were added in terms of resolved, I really have to take exception with. What you're proposing in terms of setting up a criteria where you have to judge the effectiveness, and that should be the basis on which the decision is made, sounds reasonable. But you need to, as a scientist, I would hope you'd understand that research happens with resources, and those resources haven't been there for 17 years. And there's a tremendous lack of knowledge of what truly works. You know, tonight we heard some very good suggestions from the audience in terms of, biometric gun storage. I mean, that may be a great idea. It's not even mentioned in the SAFE Act. I don't know if it would work. I don't know if there's any studies on that. Before we move forward, we probably should try to do that. I just recently read that the city of Seattle took note of this and actually is in the process of considering a resolution that the city itself would spend $153,000 funding research into gun violence because the federal government essentially isn't doing that. So I don't think we can hinge anything at this point on known data. We know we have a problem. We try to look at it and use the logic and sense, but I think it's a really mistake to make that an absolute requirement, which is why I could not support that resolution. And we'll be supporting the one that Carol's introduced.
Thank you. Leslin?
So I'm struggling with this. At committee, I attempted to take the language of one of the resolves. It might have been the first resolve in the resolution to substitute to Mike's resolution, which would have gotten my support on this floor, and I said this in committee. I wanted to bring something out of committee. Like Will said, the committee did great work in trying to make Mike's resolution more balanced and stronger. I appreciate your work on it. However, because of the resolve that Peter, that you offered up, I'm put in a position where I wouldn't be able to support that. Now I would have to support the one that's being substituted, which is not my first preference. I think there was a lot in here that it didn't necessarily... there wasn't some in here that I thought should be in this resolution. I thought Mike's was a better, the Lane resolution, as amended by the committee, was a better resolution minus that resolve. So I will be supporting the substitution for that reason.
Okay, thanks, Frank. Thanks, Leslin. Hand signals next time.
I'm working on it.
Okay. Frank.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm not sure if I should address a specific omission in this resolution as opposed to the wisdom of offering it as a substitute. But let me try it, and if I'm ruled out of order, so be it. I'll say it again later. This resolution completely ignores the, I'm putting my hat on as the Health and Human Services Committee Chair.
Frank, hold on. So if you're going to, if you want to make an amendment to Carol's resolution to add, is that what you want to do?
No, that's not what I want to do.
Okay, all right.
Okay, so I should not say anything? Is that what you're
saying? If you want to, we can't amend Carol's resolution until we've agreed to substitute it.
Okay, I'm not offering an amendment. I'm just offering an observation as to what it does not say. And that's why I will not support offering it as a substitution. There has been so much said at the state level, and we heard earlier this evening from one speaker about the import of the mental health piece. It hasn't gone unnoticed by anyone that's been following this in the paper or in the news that the mental health professionals at the state level are totally appalled by this act. Locally, we are losing funding statewide, and locally, just as an example, the early intervention program, funding for it has been pulled and reduced. The effect financially on our own mental health department could be devastating. Instead of worrying about providing a database to follow individuals and who's going to make that decision, and Will, I have spoken to members of the Mental Health Services Board to find out exactly what has been described there. There's serious concerns at the state level about this particular act. And all of the questions will never all be answered. But there's enough concern that this resolution that Carol has put forward is completely devoid of any recognition that, except in the resolve where it says funding will be provided, the resolution that Mike and the committee brought forward at least recognizes in one of the whereases that particular shortfall. I think you should vote against this resolution and go with the original one that came out of committee. Thank you.
Thank you, Frank. Any other discussion on whether to substitute? All right, ready to vote. All in favor of substituting Q for D, please raise your hand.
Aye.
Opposed? That passes 8-7. So Q is now the motion that we're talking about on the merits. Mike.
I'd like to move to substitute my original motion.
All right. And that's help us packet page. It's in here somewhere, right?
Where is this? One as I originally proposed it.
Right. You know what packet page it is?
I'm just looking for it.
Seven?
It's in this big, thick.
What?
Seven?
Which
one?
Seven? Page seven.
That's right. That resolution was before the committee. D. Right, Mike? That was before the committee revised it.
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
Okay. Is there a second? Brian seconds that. Discussion.
Packet page seven. Right?
Okay. Well, Mike, go ahead.
I'll speak to it, particularly after what I heard Leslin say, that some of the changes in the that were made by the committee made it difficult for her to support a compromise resolution. And so I think if we have a chance to vote on this, perhaps other folks will feel the same way.
Any other discussion? All right, all in favor of substituting this version D instead of Carol's, please raise your hand. Opposed? That fails 6-9. So we are back to Carol's. Nathan?
Yeah, I just want to state for the record that I voted against this resolution queued for substituting, and I also voted for this compromise resolution. But now that the resolution queue stands as the resolution, I will be supporting it based on my previous comments.
Okay. Thank you. Kathy Luce.
Are we talking about the merits now?
Yeah, now we're on the merits.
Okay.
That's right.
I got a little show and tell. I got these envelopes in the mail from the Department of Motor Vehicles. It took me about 5 minutes. I admit I did it during this meeting, but I justified it by saying I was going to use it as a show and tell. I got two different vehicles. I have to pay for the license plates. I have to pay for the insurance. I have to pay for the registration. It's very annoying. I don't necessarily agree with it. It could be seen to be an infringement on my liberty, but I have to do it. Now, it's not guaranteed that when I drive down the street, if I don't have the registration on my vehicle, that I'm going to get arrested or charged with a crime. Our enforcement isn't that good yet, although there's arguments in some states where they have cameras and take pictures when you go through the toll booth that that's an invasion of privacy. So we're still kind of up in the air about that. But so far in this state, I have to wear a helmet when I ride my motorcycle. And I have to wear glasses when I drive or contacts, and I have to have proof of that on my license. I have to take pictures and pay for my driver's license. The part that really gets me is that after the Patriot Act was passed, when I want to get on a plane, okay, I have a replacement knee. So not only do I have to take off my shoes and all that stuff, they pat me down. Every time, I hate it. I've stopped flying as much because this is, for me, an infringement on my privacy and an infringement on my rights that is too much. Okay, I'm going to take it a little further and tell you that sometimes I have unintentionally, run stop signs. I have run red lights unintentionally and a couple of times on purpose. I admit, don't tell my insurance company. Here's my point. I haven't been caught every time, but I submit to the law, even though I don't always agree with it and I've broken it sometime, A, because my insurance rates will go up, and B, because somebody somewhere has determined that it costs society more not to have those laws in place. I don't agree with all the laws that I adhere to, and some of them I think I do give up freedoms for them. Sometimes the freedoms that I give up are not ones that I agree to, but the majority has imposed them on me, as in the airplane and having to take off the shoes. And yet, to be part of this great country, I still want to live here, and so I abide by them. I'm going to support the Dooley, et cetera, resolution, and I'll just say that the reason for me is because I've had enough. I've had enough of government paying to clean up after this. That's part of the reason you have helmet laws, you know, because of the public safety and emergency workers that have to be traumatized and get PTSD after having scraped people's brains up off the ground all the time, having to think about the cost of the Sandy Hook massacre, think about the costs of these unfunded mandates. Well, we're going to try to cut some of that back. We don't know. It's an experiment, but guess what? I'm tired of the killing. I want to go with this, and that's why I'm supporting it.
Thank you, Kathy. Anyone else? Leslie.
Kathy, thank you. I, too, am tired of Kellen, and I am actually terribly disappointed. I really wish that, having heard from so many people, that at our committee level, we could have added language to the resolution that I wanted to support, that talked about our supporting the intent and enactment of this. That was one simple phrase that could have made all the difference, I think, to this, to what we brought forward for a vote. And I think it would have been truly a compromise resolution and would have satisfied, I think, everybody. So I just want to express my dissatisfaction that we could not add that simple phrase to satisfy the other side of folks that we were hearing from as well.
Thanks, Leslie. Brian?
Thanks. I will be voting against this resolution, and maybe not for the reasons that some people might think. You know, I spent a career doing public safety. I saw more killings than all of you folks here together have seen. You know, I said in an interview that, and it was a guess, probably an educated guess, but I thought probably somewhere around 40 gun-related incidents that I was personally involved with. Of those perpetrators, I don't recall one that would have fallen into this law. There isn't anybody that had a permit that ever would have even thought of getting a permit. You know, the guns were not legally owned. I don't see where it fixes any of that. But that's just a statement that I wanted to make. I can't support a resolution that has support in it when I don't, and it's not for it's not a public safety thing for me. I wouldn't support any law, and I would hope that most people wouldn't. And it's like, hey, we have to do something, so here it is. And then it's like, well, oh my God, we'll go back and fix it. I don't think that's a good way to govern at any level. I mean, we certainly wouldn't do it here, and I don't know why we would allow it, in state government. I just underlined a couple things in this resolution. Acted expeditiously under message of necessity. Was that legal? Yeah. Was it, in my view, it was a cop-out. We don't want to hear about this. We'll let local government hear about it. And maybe we'll listen to it later, or maybe it'll just go away. It has in the same paragraph bipartisan support. Yes, it did. I think if you ask that question today, you might not get the same answer. And the last part is, and it speaks to, I forget who even said now, I'm getting confused, but there are parts of this that do affect us here in directly in county government. And other than the words, funding, I agree. I think it was Mike. You know, we could probably get specific on that. What are the things that it does affect? And we know from testimony from our own department heads that it affects the sheriff's department, mental health, the clerk, and the district attorney's office. All of them have spoken to us. So I'm not offering any language. I would just say that maybe at the very, very least that we can be somewhat specific on that, as it does affect us
okay.
At this level.
Thank you, Brian. I've got Carol, Jim, Nathan, and then Will.
Yeah, when we listened to the speakers and Savante, the mayor, threw out a figure, 30 deaths a day that had happened since Newtown, the engineer in me, Peter's not the only person with something of an engineering background, although mine is much more minimal, rapidly computed that, and that only came to about 11,000 deaths a year, and we keep hearing the figure over 30,000 deaths a year that are related to guns. So I quickly looked, what is the actual number? And I just want to let you know what I found and why I think we really need to do something. And yes, Brian, I agree. This law won't address everybody. It won't address all of the homicides in particular. Criminals who are out there, by definition, are out there not following the law. But here are the figures that I found. From the CDC, These happen to be from 2011, but other years are similar. In 2011, there were 31,940 gun deaths, about 20,000 of them. 19,766 of them were suicides. Now, will people still commit suicide? Yes, but health professionals tell us that many suicides, attempted suicides, that don't succeed the first time, you know, people get help. And guns are more likely to succeed. They are, deaths from from guns are more likely to succeed as a suicide than other methods. I mean, in this community, we have those bridges, but and that's probably up there, but we've got 20,000 deaths almost from guns. Homicides, 11,101. Those are the ones we may not be able to reach all of, but maybe some of. Undetermined intent, there were 222 of those. Accidental discharges, this is the figure that really got to me, 851 people died in 2011 from accidental discharge of a weapon. I mean, if we could just save those, almost 900 deaths a year, that would make a difference. So, again, of those 32,000 deaths in that year, 11,000 were homicides. The rest, 20,000, are something that maybe we could have impacted if a law like this had been in place. So I do hope that we can support it. And is it perfect? No. It isn't perfect, but what's that quote? You know, let's not let the perfect be the enemy of the good. I hope that... That we can start somewhere, and obviously the laws get revisited all the time. Agencies in their enforcement and determination of the actual procedures to implement the laws figure out how to address some of the things that Nathan raised, that Mike raised with his, those figures speak for themselves.
Thank you, Carol. We've got Jim, Nathan, Will, Peter.
Thank you. I did not say thank you to all the people that came and the many people that are still in the other room watching these proceedings. I look at lines 26 through 29 in the reso that's on the floor, and it talks about supporting the intent, but it also urges the governor and the ledge to provide funding for the increased cost of local record keeping and enforcement. Clearly, the mental health issue is something that has to be addressed at the same time as the legislature relooks at this law. I came in here tonight ready to support the resolution that I talked for. It was Mike's originally, got turned around. I'm going to be going out of here tonight supporting this resolution. And it's always interesting to me when someone says, you know, we'll remember how you voted. Well, I will remind people how I voted when I run for re-election, if I do this fall. And that would be fine with me as a legislator. If someone wants to run against me for a vote on guns, the only thing I can say is we never get to vote on guns here. We don't make laws about guns. We do other things. We keep social service agencies running. We provide for highways. We provide for public safety. That's what we do. Unfortunately, we have to vote on a law that many have said is flawed. I agree. But I think this is the best way to go. For me, sometimes you have to do the right thing. You can argue with yourself and argue with others, but sometimes you have to do the right thing. I think this is the right thing that we're doing in this particular resolution. And at the end of it all, I would ask for a roll call vote when it comes to the vote.
Thank you, Jim. Nathan?
Yes, I hardly ever... asked for amendments, but I was wondering if I can move an amendment. And it's simply to make more specific Resolution Q. Right now, Resolution Q is part of the resolves. It says to it urges the state legislature and governor to provide funding for the increased cost of state agency and local record-keeping and enforcement. But nowhere in the whereas does it spell out very clear, I don't think, where what that is. So I would like to take the whereas from the one that came out of Public Safety Committee that simply states, whereas the legislation includes unfunded state mandates requiring additional registration procedures that must be administered by the Sheriff's Department and County Clerk, as well as increased responsibilities for county mental health departments. I think all that does is just make clear what we're urging them to do.
So there's a motion to ask. You
it's
said
friendly.
Friendly?
Is that friendly?
Yes.
This resolution states, as short as it is, an attempt to not overwhelm people, but that's perfectly friendly. Yeah.
And it would make it easier for me to support because then we do talk about some of our concerns about funding mandates. And
that's friendly to the mover and seconder. Where does it go, Nathan?
It can go, anywhere you wish.
After line 14.
Yeah.
I'd say after, either just before or after, just before line 14.
Sure.
Because it does say provisions in the New York State Safe Act could be revisited without redoing the law itself.
And what's the wording exactly?
It's the 7th whereas in the committee resolution, just lifting that entire.
Just read it out loud.
Whereas the legislation includes unfunded state mandates requiring additional registration procedures that must be administered by the Sheriff's Department and County Clerk, as well as increased responsibilities for county mental health departments.
Thank you.
And so that goes between line 14 and 15. And that's been friendly.
With respect to that, it says the legislation. I think you've got to stick in the SAFE Act instead of just calling it legislation at this point.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. The SAFE, where is the SAFE Act? Okay. Nate? All right. Then I've got Will and Peter. Oh. You're raising your hand again, Jim?
No.
Okay.
Can I keep fussing with this one that Nate has just given us? You wanted it in because those are the things not covered. So if you ended it, the one that you're adding, by saying the costs of which have not been covered.
Oh, right. But I figured that because we, in the resolve, we urge the state legislature to provide funding for the increased costs of state agency and local record-keeping enforcement, that we're... That kind of closes the loop.
Yes,
that is fine with me.
It makes more sense to mention it in the whereas and then
That's absolutely fine.
In the resolve. Yeah. Do you know what I'm talking about, Carol?
I'm not sure I followed that one.
Dooley, what do you want to add?
How do you want to read?
Whereas the SAFE Act includes unfunded state mandates requiring additional registration procedures that must be administered by the Sheriff's Department and County Clerk, as well as increased responsibilities for county mental health departments, the costs of which have not been covered.
Yeah. Well, it does say, the beginning says, includes unfunded state mandates.
But this is about mental health. That was why I thought it needed to be there. It's not
right.
Important.
I'm fine with that. Yeah.
Okay. Carol, is that okay?
I still didn't catch the cause of which has been what?
Forget it.
I just didn't hear the word.
The costs of which have not been covered.
Okay. Addressed. Either way is fine.
Addressed. The cost of which have not been addressed.
That's fine with me.
Okay, that's part of it now.
Is that fine with me?
All right. I've got Will and then Peter.
Thank you. I just wanted to briefly touch on the question of the implementation of the mental health provision. I was at a meeting last night of the Community Mental Health Services Board. Dave sits on that body as our representative. And spent a fair amount of time talking about it, and I think there are some real problems. And what I asked our commissioner to do is to bring this back to us as it becomes clear to her professionals around the state what needs to be done. When I asked her about it directly, she felt that it was – I don't want to put words in her mouth, but you know they were attempting to the goal was to keep guns out of people that posed a threat to themselves or to others. That is the goal, but there are unintended consequences. There are some potential costs, and I know we are not anxious to get back into this, but at some point I think we will be wanting to weigh in on this because I think it is a part of the law that I think will need some further some action.
Peter and then Frank.
I feel a little bit like being in Alice in Wonderland, because we need I need a suspension of my common sense in order to do what I'm going to do. But, I mean, I have to believe that, in fact, somebody is going to read this in Albany, and they're going to say, yeah, what did they want me to do? Oh, they want me to consider fine-tuning the details. Oh, okay, let's do that. What does fine-tune mean? Well, fine-tune means change it, but not so much. Okay, that's what we'll do. I have to believe that that's what's going to happen. I don't really believe it, but let me pretend that it does. I'm going to vote for this. I'm going to vote for this because I think it's better than doing nothing, but I don't think it's very good. The word fine-tune, which, by the way, originally I believe was tweak, and I guess fine-tune is a little bit better than tweak, because tweak means make a teeny change, and fine-tune may be just a small change. Because I'm not convinced that there aren't big changes that have to be made. For instance, as near as I can tell, the governor caught this even after they passed the bill, but effectively the statement that anybody who owned a magazine that could hold 10 bullets was guilty of a Class D felony essentially took guns away from everybody in New York State. I mean, that wasn't some fine-tuning that needs. That's big change that's needed to do that. That's a disaster. The thing about the mental health, I think, requires big changes to be made. I, frankly, have become convinced that the notion of outlawing weapons simply because of their decoration, so to speak, whether it has a non-functional handle on it, suddenly changes a legal weapon into a Class D felony is crazy. That, to me, is a major change. We're not asking any of those major changes to be made. So I think this is faulty. But as I say, I think it's better than nothing, and so I will vote for it.
Frank, and then I'll take a turn.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Will, I respectfully disagree with the interpretation regarding coming back and tweaking this again. The first resolved in the substitute resolution, item 2, simply urges the state legislature and the governor to provide funding for the increased costs. And, of course, I can't speak about the law enforcement part, although I'm sure that will go up, but I sure can speak about the increased costs regarding mental health. Let me read you something in the excellent article that the Ithaca Journal did for Saturday's paper. Who reports? Also a question is, who should be required to report? This is who reports the potential individual that could do harm. The law states, the SAFE Act, states that physicians, including psychiatrists, psychologists, registered nurses, and licensed clinical social workers are obligated to make reports. That's the end of the quote. It goes on. It's a full-page article, folks. I'm sure some of you saw it. Mm-hmm. Dooley, with all due respect, and Carol, the same, your resolution doesn't go far enough in addressing. You're concentrating on the guns, which is what your primary purpose is, but you're overlooking the import and the effect on mental health and all the clinicians that are going to have to abide by this SAFE Act. The funding could be severe. And I remind you again about the comment I made earlier. The state has already cut funding.
Do you have a word
they've cut,
to suggest instead of urge?
Yeah, let's go back to Mike Lane's resolution.
You have language about mental health in particular.
Excuse me. I don't mean to get so animated. But
we put that part of Mike's resolution into this one.
Doesn't go far enough. I'm sorry. I don't have actual substitute wording to submit. But the part that was just that Nathan, let me see if I have this. Whereas the legislature includes unfunded state mandates requiring additional registration procedures that must be administered by the Sheriff's Department and county clerk, as well as increased responsibilities for county mental health departments. And then the resolve that is in the substitute resolution simply urges the state legislature and governor to provide funding. How about striking the word urge and say requires?
Well, it would be great if we could do that, Frank.
Requires. How do we require?
We could
demand.
We demand.
Of demanding.
All right, demand. Is that the?
Will it get your vote if we change it?
Let's worry about getting the resolution properly amended.
All right. So is that an amendment or is that friendly?
Pam, is that?
I don't think we're in a position to demand. I think we can ask, request,
call,
urge,
on.
Call oh, on. Us.
But I thought urge is okay.
This is
stronger.
Okay.
Folks, you're getting punchy.
No kidding.
I don't know.
That's not friendly. Frank, is that an amendment?
I would offer to substitute for the word urge the word requires, and I'll move that.
Seconded by Dave. Okay, that is an amendment, amendment to the main motion.
Right.
Line 27.
May I speak to that?
Yeah.
I don't think we can require this. Unfortunately, I don't think we can require the state legislature and governor to do anything. And we can't require them to do that.
You can try.
All right.
Can I move to substitute that with demand?
Oh, if you want.
All right, I do it. Move to substitute with demand.
Second by Jim.
That's okay. That's fine.
That's friendly.
Demand is okay.
All right.
All right.
I'd consider that friendly.
It's friendly to you?
Well, what do you think?
It's friendly.
It's friendly? Okay.
Urge is, we can't
yes.
make them do anything.
Demand.
Urge, demand, request.
All right, look, okay. Requires. It's been moved and seconded. How many are in favor of changing urges to demands?
Demands.
I do love urges.
One, two, three, four,
I got
five,
Kathy's vote right here.
One time, folks. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine. Opposed. Five. That passes 10-5. It's fine. It's great. I'm all for it.
Thank you.
Silly. Okay. We've got demands in there, right?
Yep. Thank you.
Brian and then Peter.
Demands that.
And Leslie.
Could I call the question and the resolution? I mean, we could sit here all night doing this stuff. I don't think it's going to change anybody's mind here.
Point of order, and can't do that because he spoke after that.
Yeah.
Okay. You should have demanded it.
Peter, you're next anyway.
I wanted to say something. I wasn't going to do that.
Okay.
I just want to explain my vote against demanding.
Okay, hold on. No. All right.
I'm going to do it.
I'm sorry.
No, come on. I raised my hand. You recognize me.
Peter, it's 5:05.
I understand what time it is.
That vote's been done.
I'll be quick.
Really quick?
Yeah, really quick. I think we have to believe that someone's going to read this. And frankly, when someone has power to do something, to demand that they do it is ridiculous. It's better to be polite in a situation like that than. For that reason, I'm going to vote against the word demand.
You're going to vote against. It's already done.
Okay.
Leslie, I think you were next. And then Dave.
I was going to try something. I wonder if the mover and seconder and that resolve would accept the language and the third line, the one that says fine-tuning, because I'm with Peter, I don't know what that means. It'll make it a little palatable to me. Line 29 of the lien resolution. If number 3 can say, urges New York State, here goes that urges word again, New York State Legislature, Governor Andrew Cuomo, to reexamine the issues addressed by the New York Safe Act in an open and public process, affording residents, blah, blah, blah. It sort of spells out a little bit more what fine-tuning or whatever it is. You say pretty much the same thing with following an open public comment period.
The whole point for me was that this that we're supporting the intent of the SAFE Act, and we're only asking for a tweak. We're not asking for a whole reexamination of the act. And and the reason that we didn't get into which details was that we thought we would spend an hour and a half figuring out which details to include or not include, and it's really the whole point is that they should live with this law for a little while, they should have hearings and open process where everybody around the state, not just Tompkins County.
Okay, Carol, let me clarify. Leslie, are you making are you moving to amend?
I was hoping they will take it as friendly, but it doesn't seem that, so we'll move to amend that and to say urges the New York State Legislature and Governor Cuomo to continue to reexamine, because they have been doing that, the issues addressed by the New York Safe Act in an open and public process, affording residents of the state the opportunity to be heard on the legislation, and then to confirm, modify, and or correct the statute in a careful and deliberate manner.
Wait, so you are moving to add that first
I am moving to...
Except for the recommendation by the Public Safety Committee, except for that part. It looks like it's the whole...
I would like to take that part and...
Carol, just a second.
Can I just finish speaking? Sure. Thank you. To take that and substitute for what number three says in the resolution that's on the floor. That's what I'm asking for.
Sorry,
says fine-tuning details and all of that.
Oh, I see. Is there a second for that? Mike seconds that. That's a motion to amend.
Will you ask if it was friendly first?
I thought you argued with her. I assumed I'm trying to move this along here. We've got a motion to amend.
Reexamination of details. Did I hear you correctly to say you want a reexamination of
continue
details?
Continue to reexamine the details of the... Right.
If it were a reexamination of details, it would be friendly.
Fine.
It also says and or to confirm, modify,
says
and
all that
or
other
correct
stuff.
The statute.
No, you're in... She's in queue.
She's got the whole resolution, the whole first resolve, essentially, of packet page 7. It's been moved and seconded.
I added the word to continue to, those two words.
To continue to reexamine.
Before reexamine the details, the issues, whatever it is. State
okay.
is already that doing that, and that's why I just thought it would be helpful.
If it says details, it's friendly.
Details is fine with me.
Yeah. I consider that friendly.
So it's friendly, the mover and seconder.
Just so people know, they're getting close to losing me.
Peter.
For a number of reasons.
Peter.
I would like to call a question on the pending matter and the whole thing.
I think you can only call one question.
No, I think not. You can ask Jonathan if he's here. You can do that.
It's friendly, so we don't have to call a question on it.
This has been friendly. As long as Kathy knows what in the world has been...
Friendly. There only is one matter to call the question.
All right. All in favor of calling the question? I'm sorry. That's moved. Seconded by Brian?
Yep.
All right. There is no debate on this motion. All in favor of calling the question, which is that then we move directly to a vote on this resolution as amended. All in favor of calling the question, please raise your hand.
He's standing there.
Okay. All opposed. So I didn't get to say anything, but okay. That passes 14-1. All in favor of Resolution Q with all the amendments that Kathy has kept track of. All in favor of Resolution Q. We're doing a roll call?
We are.
Go ahead. Thanks, Kathy. Mm-hmm.
Ms. Pryor?
Yes.
Mr. Robinson?
No.
Mr. Shinagawa?
Yes.
Mr. Stein?
Aye.
Mr. Burbank?
Yes.
Ms. Chalk?
Yes.
Mr. Dennis?
Yes.
Ms. Herrera?
Yes.
Ms. Kiefer?
Yes.
Mr. Lane?
No.
Ms. McAsee?
Yes.
Mrs. McBean Claiborne?
Yes.
Mr. McKenna?
No.
Mr. Proto?
No.
Ms. Robertson?
No.
Ten ayes, five noes.
All right, thank you all. I think we need to take a five-minute break. Okay? Please, let's not take a 10-minute break. Please come back in 5 minutes.